our thoughts are like remote control. This is Dr. Herbert L. Varley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Instant Illumination. Our thoughts are like remote control. Have you ever worked a remote control device? That's the kind of thing you use on your television, the kind of thing you use on your Bose equipment, infrared. You point the gadget at your television and you click it, and you click it to make it go louder or softer. You click it to change channels. You click it to turn it on and off. And in your hand you have this little gadget that is not very large. And in fact, they become smaller and smaller when they have less things they have to do. But the ones that Apple has for their Nano and their iPod and for their other devices, they work quite nicely on the little tiny gadget that they come with. But the Nano has an infrared gadget to it that allows you to send information over to it. And you have in your hand the little gadget that sends the information. So tiny, so insignificant. If you were in a room with a person and they were flicking around inside of the palm of their hand on their little gadget over to the device, the television, they might be changing stations. You say, why is the channel changing all the time? What's wrong with your television set that the channel keeps changing? Or how comes the volume keeps going up and keeps going down? What makes that happen? Well, in this world of modern technology, we're all quite familiar with those things, and they're not as magical as they would have appeared a number of years ago. In fact, a number of years ago, they were magical when they first came out, and people started using them to just play jokes on other people. People thought, what's going on here? What is this strange thing that's happening here? Well, we have that same possibility. We can do these things so beautifully with our mind. Our mind is our own remote control. And we think in our mind, gee, it's wonderful. I haven't heard from Gertrude for quite a little long. I wonder how she's doing. I wonder how her trip to Thailand was, and so forth. And it's so great. And then next thing you know, there is a postcard that was sent long, long time ago from Thailand while they were still there. Now they're back in Switzerland, and it arrives on just that day at just that time that I was thinking about it. Now, how fascinating. Other things of similar import happen. I think, gee, it'd be interesting to hear from Christy in London. And next thing you know, she's on the phone calling, hi Herb, it's Christy. Or I'm thinking of Sibylla in Nigeria, and Sibylla calls. I'm thinking of Sam, and Sam calls. Now, are these coincidences? Are these things that happen by chance? Are these things that would not have happened had I not thought about them? That we have to make an affirmation or a statement for ourselves. Would they not have happened if I hadn't thought about them? Well, now, that's an interesting idea. What if I hadn't thought about them? Well, in other words, the illusion, the point that's trying to be made here, apparently, is that if I think of something, it happens, and if I don't think of something, it doesn't happen. Well, that's lovely. So there's war in the world, and I think about it, and it happens. There's no war in the world, and I think about it, and the war happens. That's interesting. When I think of peace on earth, then peace on earth happens in the world. When I think of not peace on earth, then not peace on earth happens. How interesting. Is that really true? Can that really work in just that way? Can our thoughts be so utterly powerful, and yet we are not really aware of how powerful they are? And the answer, of course, is yes. Thoughts are things. And since thoughts are things, every thought that is thought manifests itself in its thing form. Now, what is the thing form of a thought? Well, I'm having an anxious time with some friends, and we're having an argument, and things are not going quite as I'd like them to go. And so I think to my thought, things are not going quite as I'd like them to go. And it exacerbates. It just grows and grows and grows, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and the exacerbation becomes more and more irritating and more enlarged, and I think to myself, what's going on here? Why is this happening? I don't have that much anger, that much anxiety about this situation, but it's making itself into some great big kettle of soup. You know, what's going on here? And then something happens, and somebody does something nice, and I change my thought about them. Somebody says, "Hey, Herb, good to see you. My goodness, I've been thinking about you, but I haven't seen you. See you later. Bye." And they come and they go, and just a little comment, and all of a sudden my attitude changes about them. "Hey, I thought they weren't thinking about you." You don't think that. You think, "Well, isn't that nice of them to think about me? Isn't that nice of them to have such a nice attitude about me? How wonderful that is. My goodness sake, how wonderful that is." And then as your attitude changes, then the next time you see them, you say, "Hi, how you doing? You know, you've been on my mind lately. I've been thinking good thoughts about you." And, "Oh, well, thank you very much. Thank you very much." You know, and those are simple, simple thoughts. And every one of us can readily acquiesce to the idea that that's a possibility, that that happens that way.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, as that happens that way, what's going on? What's going on that makes that happen that way? Well, it's just the coincidence of the world. It's just the coincidence of the world going around and these things happen that way. No, not at all. We have made thoughts in our mind that brought about these activities exactly the way they're happening. I was thinking about Stefan the other day, and then lo and behold, somebody started talking about Stefan. I was thinking about my son Mark, and next thing I know, there's a telephone call for me from Texas as he's driving back home from Florida to California via Texas. And he's driving a car. He's not flying his plane. And I say, "Well, hi, Mark. How you doing?" And he says, "Fine, Dad." He said, "I thought I'd give you a call." And I said, "Well, thank you." And he said, "I heard you had called me and left a call on my answering machine, and so I thought I'd call you back. How you doing?" I said, "Great." I said, "Why are you driving a car? I thought you'd be flying a plane." He said, "Well, the airplane gas is three times the price of automobile gas." And he said, "So I chose to just drive back and forth rather than fly." And I said, "Well, that's great. I'm glad things are going good for you." And he said, "Oh, yes, everything is wonderful." And we had a nice chat. And when we finished, I said, "Well, when you think of something, give me a call. Always glad to hear from you." And so that ended that. But you see, the thought, I thought of him just casually and just wonderfully. I thought of him at that moment, and he called. Now, I didn't think of him at other times, and he didn't call at other times. Whenever I think of him, I get a hold of him. Whenever I think of him, sure, he wasn't there, so I left a message on his answering machine. But the thing is, I thought about him. And he thought about me. Now, are these things so impressive and so important? Well, truly they are. Thoughts are things. Whatever thoughts we have in our consciousness, whatever thoughts we have in our mind, in our activity or whatever it is, these thoughts bear fruit. Now, some can be so unpossessed and casual, like my loving thought of my son, that an instantaneous response takes place. Other thoughts can be very possessive and very demanding, and sometimes those thoughts don't come through so quickly. They are possessed by the thing that we are running somebody else's life, or we're controlling somebody else's life, or we're making demands. And whenever we make a demand, we sort of cut ourselves off from the flow of the beautiful activity that thought brings to us in every possible way. Now, we are creatures of modern technology, and the modern technology of the Blu-ray and of the blue chip and the Bluetooth and of the infrared and all of these other activities that are taking place, we're aware of them. We're aware of the electronic signals that are sent here and there. We're aware, I'm certainly aware. I live here on the top of the mountain in Southern California, and I live back at the end of a valley, and it's out of the reach of most of the cellular phones. It's out of reach of most of the cellular activities that I would like to have. And so I have hired a man who has two towers on surrounding mountains here that pick up the signals from the internet. And he beams them down to me at my tower, which is at the north end of my land. And as he beams them to me, they bring me on broadband the internet activities that are better than I'd ever had before. Now that's kind of wonderful. That's kind of fantastic and kind of beautiful. But you see, it's all a thought. The thought is, I'd like to have it. The thought is, broadband came in, and I thought, well, wouldn't broadband be wonderful for my internet program so I could get onto it more readily and more easily? And lo and behold, there it is. I thought about it. Well, now why don't I think about the ability to mentally travel here and there and physically be here and there by my mental travels? Well, those are thoughts that are possible, but you see, there's more thoughts saying I can't do it than there are saying that I can do it. The moment that my thought system says to me, it is done, I can do it, I do it, then it is done. The moment my thought system says, I think of my son, and he gives me a call, that's the moment he does it. The moment, and I do that without any demand or without any requirement, I do it just in a loving way, and so it is. I think of that in relative to my students here at the University of Healing, and little by little, they call in. Sometimes a student hasn't been active for some time, and I think about them when they're brought to my attention, and I say, I surround you with my pure white light of love. I see you and your world filled with happiness and joy, and I see you using the principles you learned at the University of Healing in every area of your life to make your life fulfilled and rewarding and happy, healthy, fulfilled, unconditional loving and independent wealth. And I think of all these things for you. You do? Yes, I do. Because I'm thinking of all those things for myself. And I'm thinking of all those things for everyone who is in my world, everyone that I think about. And because I think of that, those are the things that experience for everyone in my world and for me. Oh, gee, Herb, can I be in your world? Sure you can. You can be in my world whenever you think happy thoughts about me. You are transporting, teleporting, importing, exporting yourself into my world. And as you put yourself in my world, you put yourself in a world of unconditional love. You put yourself in a world of utter happiness. You put yourself in a world of health, abundance, right action, peace, and truth. You put yourself in such a, hey, Herb, that's very good. Why don't you bottle that and sell that? Well, I don't have to bottle it and sell it because it's available from everybody. I know I'm doing it, and everybody doesn't know they're doing it, but they're doing it too. Now, when we knowingly do the things we want to do, then we are using our little remote control and operating our world as is it is our choice. We don't press buttons. We do press buttons on our mental remote control. But the thing is, I think about my son and he calls. I think about my wife and she calls. I think about my students and they call. I think about my associates and next thing you know, they appear at the door and they say, Herb, I got some ideas here. And no matter what it is, every beautiful thought I think brings about the result of what I think about. And because my life is one of unconditional love, then every single person in my world is unconditionally loving. Because my life is a life of happiness and peace and harmony and goodness and joy, then every single person in my life is happiness, peaceful, joyful, harmonious, and wonderful. Now, can we all be that way? Can the entire world be that way? Can the entire world be a world of peace and love and joy? Think about it. Yes, the world is peace and love and joy. The world is harmony. The world is all in divine order. The world is that. But the world thinks that it's not harmony and not peace and not joy sometimes. And when it thinks it's not peace, not joy, and not harmony, then it is not peace, not joy, and not harmony. But that's not fair. Oh, yes. It's the working of the law of cause and effect. When you put a cause in motion, you get the effect. And you put the cause in motion of harmony and peace and love, abundance, wholeness, then that's what you experience. And when you put the other, that every single moment that I reflect upon something that I don't want to happen, I empower that to happen. Every moment that I reflect upon any condition in the world that I find not salubrious, not harmonious, not whole, not beneficial, I empower that to take place. Every moment. People come to me, Herb, I want to tell you my problem. No. Tell me your solution. I want to work with you on your solution. But if you don't know the problem, you can't help me with the solution. Oh, yes, I can. You just tell me the solution and I'll see it done with you and it will be done. But I need to tell you the problem. Well, go and hire a psychiatrist or a psychologist or go to your minister or go to somebody who wants to listen to your problems and do it. This may sound really terrible, and I guess it is, but I always am sort of amused at ministers who get on the committee to look at pornographic film to decide whether it's pornographic or not and whether people should see it or not. They have to view those films and look at them to see whether the public should see them or not or whether they recommend them or not. Well, you know, and I know, this is a truism. The more you do a bad act, the more you think the act is not so bad. The more you look at pornographic films, the more you think that the pornographic films are not so bad, they're really okay. And what's a pornographic film? A pornographic film is something which is contrary to what you would normally do in everyday life. It's contrary to what you would normally do in everyday life. Well, a pornographic film is a murder mystery. A pornographic film is a film in which people are not nice to each other, in which people do terrible things to each other, in which people don't understand each other. And a pornographic film is where there's murder, and where there's anxiety, and where there's tension, and where there's lack and limitation and illness. Oh my goodness sake, Herb. You take virtually every film off the market if that's what you're calling them. Well, what do you call them? What do you call a film that talks about something that is not beneficial for you or humanity? what do you call a film that tells a story of the life of a person who has had a very life filled with sadness, and the film relates all that sadness and all that unhappiness? What do you call such a film? Do you call that a beneficial film? Do you call that something uplifting? Something that they have family films, and in the family films, they try to get so much emotion in there. They try to get so much of a feeling of the sensitivity. And, oh, isn't that lovely? Oh, wasn't that nice, a little boy to give his mother some flowers? My goodness sakes. Is it so rare that a little boy gives his mother flowers that you're going to get all emotion about it? If that's what it is in your life, maybe you better look it over again. Maybe you better look at what sort of a life you have and see whether that life is perhaps more pornographic than it is beautiful graphic. You know, think about it. Oh, I know I sound terrible saying these things, and I'm probably going to get rebuttals from many of you about it, but think about it. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So what are we thinking about? What are we thinking? Are we thinking about winning the race, or are we thinking about how terrible the race is and how hard it is and how difficult it is and how unfair it is to have the race like that? Well, why did you get into that race? You don't have to be in that race. You can be in a race that's fair and honest and joyful and good, one that makes you feel good when you're through with it. And the race of life is like that. It is a race in which everyone is trying to outdo the other one in being unconditionally loving. Everyone is being unconditional. Well, you see, when you're unconditionally loving, there's no competition. And so when you're unconditionally loving, you are just such a joy to be with. You're so happy to be with. People just enjoy your company. They enjoy being in your world. And they say, how wonderful, how wonderful. My goodness sakes, it is so great. And it is so great. It is just that way. Now, we have the choice of having good thoughts or bad thoughts. We have the choice of using our thoughts, which are the remote control for the world in which we live, to make our world into a beautiful world, or into a world filled with problems or filled with solutions. Now, ask yourself truly, would you like a world filled with problems or a world filled with solutions? Well, if your answer is that you like a world filled with solutions, then you start filling it with solutions. You start filling it with the opportunity to do all the wonderful things you ever dreamed of doing. You start filling it with loving your neighbor. And I find it so charming that people who are learning these things are not able to love their neighbor. They look at their neighbor and they say, but they did this and they did that and they did the other thing. And I think to myself, my goodness gracious, you just haven't learned the lesson. You haven't learned how to love yourself. You haven't learned how to love your neighbor like yourself. Well, maybe you are loving your neighbor like you love yourself. Maybe you love yourself with all the anxiety and tension and uptightness that you are demonstrating toward your neighbor. Maybe that's what you're doing. And perhaps, maybe that's why you're listening to this talk today. You're thinking of perhaps putting a new dress on your life, putting a new clothing symbol on your world. Maybe dressing it up with happiness and harmony and peace and love. Love your neighbor. First love yourself. I like me, I like me, I like me. That's why I say Jesus said it. He said, love your neighbor like yourself. Now first love yourself. And when you love yourself, then you will love your neighbor, because that's how you live. And that's how you express. And that's how you are. It's wonderful. It's fantastic. It's glorious. It's supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Oh, my goodness. Thoughts are things. And we operate the remote control switch on all of the universe around us by our thought. And our thought demonstrates out into the world exactly who and what we are. And if we live in a world of peace and harmony and goodness, if we live in a world of joy, of truth, of honor, if we live in such a world, then we know we've put it together very nicely. But if there are a few rough edges, that doesn't mean that we're evil and bad and terrible. It just means that we have to adjust our remote control to bring out more of the beneficial things of life. This day, use your remote control as I use mine. From the foundation of unconditional love to the expression of universal peace and harmony and goodness, wholeness, abundance, right action. Love, love, love. So today, I bless you with my unconditional love, because your unconditional love, and you are very receptive to mine. I love you. I love you. I love you.